Hundreds of hunters and anglers and conservation-minded citizens and nature lovers attended the Conservation Congress hearings and elections across the state last night. These citizen meetings provide advisory votes to the Department of Natural Resources on various conservation policy issues. They are held every spring on the same date in all 72 Wisconsin counties, and attendees vote on a number of proposals on various outdoor issues. We will talk about some of the more controversial proposals that were on the ballots last night, and why our guest says it's important for non-hunters and anglers to get involved in these issues. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, April 15th. Do you think that there should be a tundra swan hunt in Wisconsin? That was one of the questions on the ballot last night. Do you think Wisconsin should allow the hunting of white deer or albino deer? Did you attend any of these hearings last night, and what issues mattered most to you? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Patricia Randolph. She's a journalist and writes a column for the Cap Times that's titled Mad Raven Speak, and she is a longtime wildlife activist. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so did you attend one of the meetings last night?
Oh, yeah. I came down to Dane, even though I live in Marquette, to speak out to more people, and I postered all over Dane County, so I was hoping. Oh, we had about 500 people there, I guess.
Yeah, and was it smooth sailing or rocky, or what happened?
Oh, it's always kind of rocky. They call it a hearing, but it primarily, the power of this is an election, and since it doesn't look like an election, doesn't act like any other election, since candidates aren't nominated ahead of time, and since the issues are not debated ahead of time, the public has really been left out of the loop on something that sets policy on all of our public lands, which, you know, is about the stewardship of anything from mining to fracking to some of the issues last night were transporting tar sand oil across the state. There's just really important issues in a time of so much rapid change with climate change, with a massive human-driven extinction going on, that need to be addressed by the whole public and understood as the challenges we face.
Yeah.
So, you know, the election is to represent all of us, but all 360 delegates, five in each county, for 80 years have come out of the hook and bullet crowd. And it's just not fair that this is not understood as a really major election that should be reformed.
You were a delegate to the Conservation Congress some years ago, though, weren't you?
Yep. I was the first from the non-hook and bullet crowd in 65 years to be elected, and it really upset their good old boys club. I mean, I didn't really understand all the dynamics when I was elected, and I was just trying to get the vote out and get people there, not realizing myself that the power was in electing representation, like any representative system. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the delegates decide the questions that show up. So when only hunter delegates are proposing things, the whole arc of our society has gone toward more and more and more and more and more killing at a time when ecosystems are really at a tipping point of collapse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see it because right now we have white-nosed bat fungus coming in with 95% mortality rate on bats. We have monarch butterflies going. We have pollinators and bees in dire distress. We have large mammals you know, being extinguished from the planet all over this world. And it's serious. And we need all of the public engaged in this. And we need to open it up and have a different system that allows all of us to elect, like any election, safely in a you know, like you walk behind a curtain and vote, you know, at your convenience all day long, instead of having to go one night a year where you don't have absentee ballots, you don't have transparency. This is a very, very troubled system.
Now, you say it sets a policy for our public lands. Isn't this advisory to the DNR, and it still has to go through a legislative process to change any sort of policy?
Right, and it is the sole advisory. So it's the advisory that is recognized by the legislature. And because of 80 years of entrenched power in this one special interest, the legislature and this one power are very, very interconnected. And when you have a very organized combination of NRA, Safari Club International, all the hunting clubs, you know, Whitetails, Ducks Unlimited, Pheasants Forever, when you have this very, very organized group that can affect elections, that is, it's a swing vote. And so it has a great deal of influence with the legislature, and they are very closely in bed with each other. So, you know, the fact that it's advisory is secondary to the fact that it's the only advisory that's been around for, I think it was legislated advisory in the 70s. And since it's attended only by about 5,000 citizens that are from this special interest across the state, the you know, we're a high voter turnout state. And when people know they have an election and it's called an election and it acts like an election, we have, you know, over 1 million people, maybe almost 2 million people show up and elect their representatives. And that's the kind of attendance we need. It's something that has so much power over our daily lives in nature, which is really, you know, the reality that we're collapsing. And, you know, I'm not saying this. I do the research. I know how serious the situation is. We're getting very serious warnings from our scientists that, you know, that we're not going to survive alone on this planet.
So did you notice, or through your work on this issue, that it is opening up to more and more citizens who are nature lovers or not hunters or anglers?
Well, it's a very, very slow understanding coming into the public. And, you know, it's not pleasant really to go into a settled bunch of people that have guns. I mean, it's a different situation. It's a challenge that we need to face now, because we can't wait for this to incrementally grow over decades, because it's been entrenched for 80 years. We have to reform this so that it's fair, and so we have fair representation when we do attend. I mean, one of the problems, Milwaukee County has 900,000 citizens in it, and they get 5 delegates. Well, the bottom 39 counties in the state, with population at the lowest, combined have 900,000 citizens. Those are rural counties, and they each get 5 delegates. So they control more than half of the delegates in this election. So those 900,000 citizens who are represented by very tiny, maybe 1,000 people out of those counties attend, they rule because they have more than half the delegates. It's not a fair representation anyway. It's set up with a stacked deck every which way you go. And, you know, even when you get through that and you go to the legislature, that bond with that old entrenched system is very tight, And then when you get to the Natural Resources Board, the legislator mandated that that has to be controlled, 4 out of 7 delegates, to hunter activists. So you get doors shut in your face every which way you go if you don't kill wildlife. It's a serious situation, given the challenges that we face.
Well, we will talk about some of the issues that were before the Conservation Congress last night, and wonder how you feel about them. There were some, there always are, but there were some especially controversial proposals on the ballots in 72 counties last night, including proposals to allow a hunt of tundra swans, to allow a hunt of white deer. Were you at any of these hearings last night? Did you know that these proposals were on the table? How do you feel about them? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 20 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, April 15th. The Conservation Congress hearings were held last night in Wisconsin's 72 counties, and some pretty controversial items were on the agenda. Do you think that Wisconsin should establish a tundra swan hunt? Do you think Wisconsin should allow the hunting of white deer? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Patricia Randolph, longtime wildlife activist, one-time delegate to the Conservation Congress. She writes a column for the Capital Times called Mad Raven Speak, and she attended the Dane County Conservation Congress hearing and election, and we are welcoming your thoughts and questions for her. Many of your recent columns, Patricia, had to do with some of the controversial items that were on the proposal or on the agenda. Tell us about this proposal to remove protections from the white deer, allow white deer to be hunted in Wisconsin. Where did this come from?
This actually came from the Natural Resources Board. Greg Kazmierski, who was appointed by Governor Walker as one of these hunter activists who owns an outdoor business, some kind of hunting business, he watched the people that live with the white deer go through the whole Congress process trying to protect them, and then after the board decided to protect them, he immediately bypassed the whole process and put into the booklet this year that we should hunt them statewide. That came from him, and you know, the Wisconsin Public Television did a series on the what they call the ghosts of the forest. They're very, very beautiful deer. They've been protected in the state since the 1940s, and a lot of them, 6 of them, I believe, have been shot illegally. Well, in the CWD zone, they kind of opened it up, so there was some illegal shooting, and then there was some that were just taken. And there are very few of them in the state. There may be 60 to 75 of them. Well, public television did this series called Ghosts of the Forest, and it went on YouTube. It got 14 million views, and there's just a lot of tourists coming in to see these deer because they're so beautiful and rare. So it's a great tourist attraction for Wisconsin, and killing 75 deer, targeting them for a white head on your wall instead of a brown head on your wall, is really upsetting to the people that own bed and breakfasts and live in that area and feed them and take care of them and protect. protect them, and you know, there's a certain mortality rate anyway. Mm-hmm. And then there's piebald deer who are carry that genetic but have spots, and they're pretty rare too, but I don't think they're going to be protected. So the somebody put up a petition online, and they got 36,575 signers within about a month, and against killing the white deer, and they came in from all over the world. And what I think is important about that is that the comments there were, what's happened to Wisconsin? You know, why are they killing very rare animals like wolves and bobcats and deer and, you know, the white deer? And why are they basically, we're becoming known as a state that's very backwards, very regressive, and really cruel.
So there was an outdoors columnist, Pat Durkin, who wrote about this in a recent column and did say that he thought that the proposal to allow the hunting of white deer was a waste of time, that, if I remember correctly, no legislator in his or her right mind would put a bill on the table allowing the hunting of these deer. So do you agree with him or not?
Well, yeah, I do think it's...
Do you think that there's no legislator that would propose doing
this? No, I think there are legislators that would propose it. I think that, you know, Tiffany or even the head of the Senate committee, who hasn't allowed us to get Senator Risser's bill out of committee that would stop using dogs on wolves. I mean, we're becoming known as a dog-fighting state. We're running dogs on all wildlife year-round. I mean, it's just madness what's happened to the state in the last decade.
Let me get a caller in. Joe in Winona is with us. Hello, Joe.
Hi, how are you doing this morning?
Pretty good.
Good, good. Yeah, I just want to make a comment. It sounds to me like your speaker is whining about fairness. Obviously, the most powerful is going to win. If she paid more attention to the human race, maybe she'd have a little bit better luck. Everything's got a lifespan, even our nature. Seems to me like she's just whining.
Well, instead of, you know, that's kind of a name call. Why don't you, what is it that you disagree with her about?
Well, we've got to have revenue in this state. Obviously, hunting. Obviously, hunting is a powerful force. It seems to me like she'd rather have the sport go away and the revenue go away and things that people have been doing traditionally for hundreds of years at one time to sustain themselves.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a big issue.
All right. Well, he says hunting is a big tradition in Wisconsin. It's a big source of revenue. And Patricia, quit your whining.
Yeah. Well, that sounds pretty typical, but, you know, slavery was a big tradition in this country that brought in a lot of revenue, too. And fairness is not whining. Fairness is calling attention to the fact that wildlife watchers, we have 1.6 million bird watchers, and wildlife watchers even more than that, who bring in 10 to 40 times the revenue of hunters nationwide in every state. And that goes into the general coffers and is not sent to tie itself to any power and be directed to the DNR. And they have consistently resisted letting the non-consumptive wildlife watching majority participate in funding. And this is the basic core problem, is that the DNR is run on killing licenses. It's basically funded on killing licenses. And when you have that money bias, it's very hard to overcome it. We need to replace that with general public funding. We all want to pay in and have a fair say. That's democracy. So, you know, the fact that the revenue comes from hunting and trapping is not a fair fact. It's an existing fact, but it's got to be made fair so that we can have living, balanced ecosystems. Right now, they're trapping out our all of our public lands, and they want to keep trapping at night, and that's for the Chinese and Russian fur markets, which have raised the price, and so we have, you know, an imbalance. No, beavers are being wiped out. There was a proposal, a resolution by a citizen last night to protect beavers because they have been basically wiped out. They're taking out our foxes and our you know, our furry creatures are being wiped out for this market for 10,000 trappers who have a business of private profit off our public lands.
Let me hold you there, Patricia, because we do have news coming up from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. And then we'll continue talking with Patricia Randolph. She's a longtime wildlife activist. She writes a column for the Capital Times called Mad Raven Speak. And we are speaking about some of the issues that were before the Conservation Congress last night. These meetings held in all 72 Wisconsin counties, with attendees voting on a wide variety of issues, proposals dealing with Wisconsin wildlife and natural resources, including proposals to allow the hunting of white deer and tundra swans. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Tuesday, April 15th. We are following up with a guest about last night's Conservation Congress meetings held in all 72 counties around the state. These meetings of Wisconsin residents, mostly hunters and anglers, are held every year at the same time and date, and votes are taken on various proposals that are advisory to the Department of Natural Resources. The votes taken last night should be available midweek. We are talking with a wildlife activist who has been writing about some of those proposals that were on last night's ballot that she hopes are voted down. And we welcome your questions and your votes, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What do you think? Did you go to the Conservation Congress hearings last night, and why? What was the issue that mattered to you? There was a proposal on the ballot that would allow a tundra swan hunt. There was a proposal on the ballot that would allow the hunting of white deer in Wisconsin. There was also a proposal that would allow hunters who use hunting dogs to go onto someone's private property should their dog go on that private property. All sorts of different proposals that our guest objected to, and we wonder what you think. Our guest is Patricia Randolph, longtime wildlife activist. She writes a column for the Capital Times called Mad Raven Speak, and we'll get to some of the other issues in just a moment, but let's go to Steve in Decorah, Iowa next. Hello, Steve.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for the topic. I love wildlife, but I can't make a good argument for restricting the killing of these rare species.
Yeah. Oh, like, so you think it's perfectly okay biologically to hunt the white deer?
Well, I guess my main concern is if we can sort of, as a society, rationalize the killing of baby humans in the womb. I just don't know how we can make a good argument.
Yeah,
for
you're changing the subject though, Steve.
No,
so
it's really not, Joy. It's the same thing. How do we say don't kill white deer if we can kill baby humans in the womb?
Should we have a white deer hunt in Wisconsin? Should we have a tundra swan hunt in Wisconsin is the question.
Joy?
Yeah. Well, Steve wants to turn this into an abortion debate, and I'm not going there. But Patricia Randolph, the proponents of hunting these species, rarer species, say there, there's no biological reason not to do this. This is not going to wipe them out, so to speak. What's your response to that?
Well, for one thing, the Audubon Society came out, even though they're, I believe, compromised by their association with Ducks Unlimited, they came out against tundra swan hunts because we just restored, with $1 million and lots of volunteers, the trumpeter swan, which when they're flying overhead, you can't tell the difference, and they are just recovered, and it took a lot of effort to get there and a lot of citizen participation in funding it. So the trumpeter swan and the tundra swan mixed together and would be maybe even mistaken for whooping cranes, would possibly be hit. I mean, there's no reason to hunt swans at all. There's no really reason. We don't need seasons. We don't need to be killing anybody. We need to let nature work naturally and return our mid-range and top predators to the environment and have all of the public involved. And, you know, one of the really concerning issues last night that cuts across the whole state's interests is having hunters come on your land following in radio-collared packs of dogs, which they are running night and day anytime they want, using coyotes as their target indiscriminately, is that, you know, coming on private land without landowner permission, that caveat trumps private property rights. So I live on 72 acres on a creek surrounded by hunters, and all they have to do is run their dog onto my property when I'm not home, when I'm sleeping, when I'm here, and push the wildlife through to hunters on the other side and follow them in because they want to retrieve their dog. Or maybe a pack of dogs corners a coyote on your property, and a mile away, the hunters get that call that they've cornered something, and they come onto your property mid-chase and want to kill that animal. Having I post my property, and I protect my wildlife as much as I can, but having a mob of men with packs of dogs on your property, and you go out and say, I don't give you permission to be here, get out of here, and they go, we don't need your permission. How's that going to fare in a state? Who's going to want to buy private property if you can't have privacy on your property? It's a major issue.
Let's take a call from Andy in Liberty Falls. Hello, Andy.
Hi. I was a longtime vegetarian and vegan, and via the way of homesteading and organic farming, I'm now a carnivore, or I should say rather an omnivore. And I've turned to the consumptive wildlife pursuits, and I don't know if it's because of or in spite of, but I have a deep reverence for nature, and I feel like what I'm hearing right now from both sides is really misrepresenting the reality of the necessity of consumptive wildlife pursuits. They're not necessarily this abstract good or bad thing. They're of serious value to game managers, for one. Trappers, if you've ever spent any time afield with someone, you know, doing like muskrat trapping or anything like that, they have a much keener perception of what's honestly going on out in the woods than most passive wildlife observers do. And you'd hear this right from the, you know, from the DNR itself, whether these people are supportive of the consumptive pursuits or not. And another point I'd like to make is that, well, you know, man has been stomping around on the earth for maybe an estimated 2.5 million years, and if you know what science says is right, it's in only 10,000 years have we turned to agriculture, which has been the most transformative thing to ever happen. And habitat loss is number one for extinction. That's what native pollinators aren't being shot at by angry groups of men. Native pollinators are being driven to extinction because of agriculture, and that can't be, you know, overlooked. If we want to change things to save what's left of wild nature, we need to look at how we gain our sustenance.
All right. Patricia.
Yeah, well, thousands of years ago, we didn't have 7 billion plant people stomping around on the planet. And he seems to have quite a lot of knowledge about trapping, and I would say maybe he is more knowledgeable about that end of it than the other, because trapping, I was on the trapping committee. Trapping is used to take out natural mid-range predators who might take a duck egg or a goose egg so that they can overproduce or produce as many ducks and geese as they can for their own shooting. I mean, what we are doing, now we have moved agriculture into the wild, and we are farming for certain species by eliminating natural predators. We have been doing this for 100 years. That was Aldo Leopold's main message, was you can farm the wild nature for game species to proliferate. This way you get to kill natural predators, mid-range predators, and game animals, and produce a lot of game animals, deer, turkey, geese, ducks. And it's an imbalance that is so efficient that we are destroying the balance of life.
Yeah, and I didn't necessarily want this to turn into a broad debate, hunting versus not hunting.
Right.
But you know, what about people who say, well, we should be able to hunt for sustenance, that we eat what we kill. Is there anything wrong with that? Let's say do people even eat, for example, tundra swans?
Mm. Well, I went to in North Carolina, they do hunt swans with dogs. And I went to that website, and the comments there were, the adults taste like crap. That was a quote. And but they make a beautiful mount. But the juveniles are a little bit better to eat, but they make a lousy mount. That was what they had to say about tundra swans. This is not a... Much of this, hunting has changed and morphed into more thrill-killing, trophy-killing. You know, I have an 82-year-old neighbor who is an American Indian, and he used to hunt, and he quit hunting. He's 82, probably 25 years ago. And he tells me he's been in the woods all of his life. He and his little brother roamed around this area for, in their childhood, up. And he says, they don't eat turkeys. This is a photo op. They're muscular. They're tough. They don't eat geese. That is a recreational hunt. They don't like venison. Is very gamey. They have to make it into sausage and add in all sorts of pork and other things to make it palatable. This is mostly, this is not survival hunting. This is become a very recreational pastime. And killing for fun and sport is imbalancing nature to the point. I mean, let me just read something from the Extinction website to you that's recent. It says, this is from the UN, accelerating biodiversity loss, a fundamental threat to survival of humankind. Earth's environmental systems are pushed to biophysical limits. Sudden, irreversible, potentially catastrophic changes looming. Scientists warn Earth's entire biosphere is nearing a catastrophic tipping point. Now, this is serious, and so we can't make this anti-hunting or pro-hunting. This is about survival of ecosystems on this planet that sustain our lives.
We are talking with Patricia Randolph. She's a wildlife activist. She writes a column for the Capital Times called Mad Raven Speak. She attended the Dane County Conservation Congress hearing last night. These hearings were held in all 72 Wisconsin counties, and attendees could vote on a number of proposals that were on the ballot, various proposals dealing with hunting and fishing and conservation issues. We are talking about some of the more controversial proposals. The results of the vote, by the way, are supposed to be in later this week. These results are advisory to the Department of Natural Resources for developing new policies that also have to go through the state legislature. We welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're trying to focus in on some of these specific proposals that were on the ballot last night, like should Wisconsin allow the hunting of white deer? Should Wisconsin establish a tundra swan hunt? Should Wisconsin allow hunters to retrieve their hunting dogs from someone's private property? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's now 8 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, April 15th. We are talking about some controversial items that were on the ballots in 72 counties last night for the state's Spring Conservation Congress hearings. And let's get some more calls in. Scott in Random Lake is with us. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Joy.
Hi, what do you think?
I had a comment on the hunting of white deer or albino deer. They have a recessive gene. They're inferior, and if left to breed, they'll breed that into the whitetail population, and there'll be more and more of them. These deer have no camouflage, and they get taken out by every predator. And your guest had a comment on people come to see these deer. If you come to Wisconsin to see a white deer, you're not going to see one. They're so rare.
Well, there's quite a herd up in Boulder Junction that I know people see, maybe not frequently, but in any case, Scott, because you think they're inferior, they should be hunted out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What about that, Patricia?
Well, it's a misunderstanding of what a recessive gene is. A recessive gene is not a flaw. Blue eyes are a recessive gene. It's just a gene that doesn't emerge very often. White deer have never been tested. They may have immunity to CWD. They may have immunity to Lyme disease. We don't know much about them. Recessive genes are not inferiority. They're just a lesser emerging gene. So that's why they're so rare. It's not a flaw. People should go to the website that I put in my column Sunday that was put up by the people that live with the white deer and have studied them themselves. And they talk about the recessive gene. There's nothing inferior about white deer. In fact, they are, a magnificent manifestation of the natural systems. And they, they're very rare, and they have been protected. So even rare, even protected, they are extremely rare. And what was his other comment that he?
Well, he says that they're going to breed with, the brown deer, and then the brown deer are going to become more easy targets for every predator out there.
Oh, the targeting, yeah. Actually, we have a lot of winter here, and white deer blend into a snowscape much more. They're much more hidden in a snowscape, so it's kind of a trade-off. I mean, they're more visible in a non-winter environment, and they stick out like a sore thumb, which is another reason to protect them because they are very visible probably in the early, well, now, when I started on the Congress, we had a 9-day deer hunt. Now we have 4.5 months, and we're killing wolves who would protect the whole system and strengthen the deer herd. So, there's lots of things going on that aren't scientific, and it's because of this stranglehold that the people that kill wildlife have on our entire the way we manage nature.
Yeah, Ben emails, I think that sometimes people make ridiculous proposals such as hunting these white deer to goad activists. It's never going to happen.
Well, I think they feel their way to how much they can get away with. And since they're so entitled and they have control of all of our public lands, they get bored. The people that kill all the time need new stimulus. this is an adrenaline rush kind of thing. When you get to kill something rare, it gives you a little pump up of adrenaline. And so it's not just to goad us. I think it's they enjoy killing different things, different animals.
Let's we're short on time. We have a caller who's been waiting for a while on a non-hunting issue. Dina in Ontario is with us. Hi, Dina.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, I live in Vernon County, and many people here do hunt to sustain themselves, particularly through winter. And I try not to interfere with that. I do and have gone to the Congress for the last few years, last year particularly, to talk about the wolf hunting. But this year, the Wisconsin Network for Peace and Justice put up some resolutions in about 40 counties. Individuals are allowed to submit 2 resolutions. And I submitted 2, and some friends of mine submitted as well. And the resolutions were to stop the to not issue permits for the iron mine in the Pinokies, and one to for the DNR to regulate silica sand dust. And these were very well received by the Congress, the people sitting there. I found people to be incredibly knowledgeable about the topic, and people congratulated us afterward. I also found, is on the hunting issue, that a lot of these kind of extreme positions on hunting were not well received, and people did have a very calm and respectful debate on it. And I won't be surprised if a lot of these things are not elected or, voted in. So I guess that I'm saying that I think the more that people of interest of the environment just go to these events and become part of it, they may, just through human dialogue, we may be able to come to some really great things.
Thank you, Dina. We have just a minute to go, Patricia.
Yes, there was a lot of, I was happy to see a lot of, all of these land issues, fracking, transporting tar sand oil across the state, mining, trying to regulate or get rid of mining in the Pinoki Hills. Those were very welcome to the public there. I think they were educational. I think we do need more people who have land, air, water. Water is going to be a huge issue, and that's another reason that the beaver proposal last night to protect beavers is important. So I think the more the public gets engaged and we have more people coming, the more input we have from the grassroots, which was what this is supposed to be, from all people, that we can really expand this thing to be useful.
We'll leave it there for now. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Patricia Randolph is a wildlife activist. She writes a column for the Capital Times called Mad Raven Speak. And we have put some of those columns up on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Robin Cherry for producing and directing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.